I'd like to recognize Dr. O'Carey, and he has some guests that he's going to introduce. If you'll bring our guest on forward. Number five, John. The blue. The blue. Kennedy and I are twins separated from birth.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I want to start by saying at the time when we began the Horizon Medical Mission, at that time, we never had a place to stay. So at the beginning, we called on the king if he has a place for us to stay, and he opened his doors for us. So he hired all the people that I went with, and he did it for 2-3 years. But as time went on, we grew up in number, and we couldn't stay at his home because the space is not enough to get everyone in. So we started staying in a hotel. So today, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the king of Ihiagua and the chairman of the Council of Traditional Rulers of Owerri West, His Royal Highness Eze J. Morako, and his lovely wife. Of course, the king cannot walk alone. He always has to walk with the queen. And so here today also is Lady Regina Ugweze Morako. Thank you so much. I think he has something to tell us.
Yes, fellow Christians of Savannah and Georgia, United States of America, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you fraternal greetings from my family, my community, and the people of Nigeria. My Ugweze and I are gratified to be here today to worship and praise our good God with you. Our presence here today is God's doing, to satisfy my need and hunger to publicly convey my sincere appreciation and that of my people to the people of Savannah and Georgia in general for the wonderful work our God has been doing among my people through you and our son, High Chief Dr. O'Carey. It started in 2001 when Dr. O'Carey phoned me that he was bringing a team of Americans to render free medical services to my community. He needed accommodation for them. I eagerly asked him to come and assured him of my accommodation. Lo and behold, a few days after, Dr. O'Carey arrived with a team of American doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and pastors. I happily accommodated them in my palace, and they started to offer free medical consultations and drugs to my people. You cannot imagine the crowds of sick people who thronged the church premises and other venues to be treated of their illnesses. The pastors held worship sessions in the Baptist church in my community, completing the circle of catering for the body and the soul. Since then, it has been the same every year, with Dr. Kere arriving with his team of healers. Last April, they were with us and extended their services to the entire state of Imo, which is as large as Georgia. One realized that Dr. Kere's humanitarian services are being made possible by you, the godly people of Savannah, Tybee Island, and Georgia. There arose a burning desire in me as a leader and ruler of my people to come over and express our appreciation to you, good people. I was here in 2005 and visited your city council to convey my gratitude. Since July, I've been in Cleveland, Ohio, receiving medical treatment and resting. Dr. Carey and his wonderful assistant, Mrs. Julia Pierce of Tybee Island, asked me to come over to say thank you. That is why we are here this morning. Well, I'm come in the and I was in Tybee Island and happy to be here today in God's house to express my thanks. God bless you all. May He replenish your resources to continue your support for Dr. Carey and his organization, the Horizon Medical Mission. God bless America. God bless Nigeria. Thank you very much.
You may be seated. We welcome the King and Queen here today. We're so glad you're here. Now, when we were in your country, we received the kola nut, and we had that ceremony, and you told us that you were not really welcome until you had had that ceremony, and we felt welcome because of that. Now, here in South Georgia, in the United States, you're not really welcome with a person until you have met their mother. And so right now, I want to introduce you to my mother. See the lady way in the back there? That's my mother, Beverly Reynolds. And I want to introduce. So you are welcome today, and I hope you feel that way. We have some gifts for you. Several of our children made some cards for you and some notes out of their own hand. The King is quite a reader and likes to study in a lot of different fields, as I've heard. This is one of my favorite books about history of Savannah, our city, from 1733 up till 1860. It is fascinating, the documentation, and I want to give this to you all. And this is my favorite study Bible with a very popular translation here in the United States, the New Living Version of the Scripture. And I want to give this to you as a reminder of your visit and a thanks for you being here. God bless you both.
God bless you.
Amen. And now, it's always our custom when people come through that we pray for them. And so we want to pray for you. Pray for your health and pray that God will give you a long life. And as you serve Him and serve your country and serve your people. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, for these two who stand before us, we thank you for them. I thank you for the way that you have used them to open their arms to what you're doing in the earth. I thank you for Dr. O'Carey and Lord, for all of the things, the connections. But God, for using these two people especially as they open their hearts and their arms and their home and themselves. Lord, as they open themselves to us and welcomed us. Strangers. But only strangers on this side of eternity. I thank you for their love of Jesus. And I pray your blessing of long life and good health, Lord, as they invest in the lives of others through many ministries. Thank you for using them in us. And we pray that you will multiply what they have given, what they have done in faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Dane's out of place today. We're not twins separated at birth.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Well, I add my welcome and good morning to everybody. I'm the part of the program where we kind of go through all the business-like things, so we'll move quickly to get back to worshiping God through music. Encourage you to look in your bulletins. There's a lot of announcements in there, and I know that every one of you probably already have a busy fall planned. So I'm encouraging you to look at those announcements. Go ahead and be checking out those dates. The one that I will put out for you first, I guess, will be the ladies' time out. There you can read it up on the overhead, too, just in case you don't happen to have a bulletin with you. Next Sunday is our beach baptism. I want to stress to you again, we're doing this one immediately following the worship service. The youth are going to head out there, going to grab something to eat on the way, and then we're going to gather by the north end on the beach, kind of like we've done in the past, and do a baptism. I know a few adults are also going to be being baptized that day. If anyone is interested in being baptized that Sunday, if you'll just let one of the pastors know or put it on your card, it's a y'all come affair, okay? So we just want everybody there. It's going to be a great time. I just encourage you to join us, even if you're not part of the baptism, the immediate baptism people being baptized that day, okay? So I want to point that out. And the last thing is the Arise cry out. Stacy, raise your hand real quick. Stacy Cerrone back there. She's kind of leading the charge on this, and it is something that probably very few are familiar with. So what I want to encourage you to do is there's a flyer on the back table. There was a flyer in your bulletin, and Stacy has some little cards to pass out. But I strongly encourage you to go to that website, themomsintouch.org, and read about it. Something we place a high value on this congregation is intercessory prayer. That's standing in the gap for others. And right there is one avenue of doing it, praying for our schools, praying for our teachers, and praying for our students. And maybe you can't attend a meeting, but you can still be praying. So if you're interested in that, please let Stacy know. Also, you can go to that website and read. But we never have too many people praying for our school system in this country. And speaking as a parent of one who's in the public school system, we could use all the prayer we can get, okay? So I highly encourage you to do that. If you have any more questions, you can see Stacy. Yes, John?
We got a link to the Moms in Touch on our website as well, so if you want to go through that way, you can get to that website as well.
Okay. Go to our home website and get to that link also, okay? I want to let you know that. Also, if you have any new information, please put that on your cards that are in your bulletins, new email, phone numbers, maybe you moved and you didn't want us to know, but now you'll let us know that you're in a different location. All right, so if you have something, please put it on there. I'm begging you to put prayer requests down on there, okay? You know, each week, some of you are very faithful to share what's going on in your lives, and it's a brief time we're here together. We say good morning, we say hello, and we say how you doing, and we say fine, and we kind of go on our way, but there's needs in all of our lives, and that's one way that we share those needs, and they are real, and they are personal, and you probably need someone sharing the burden of those needs this week. And the pastors are willing to partner with you in sharing those burdens and be praying with you today about that over this next week. So please take advantage of that. At the end of the service, we've got a basket by the back door. We've got a basket up here. We collect the cards and the envelopes. So just encourage you to take advantage of that, okay? I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, and then we'll stand and greet one another. I hope that you come with expectations this morning, okay? You know, even though you may sit there and you get a chance to worship through music and you get a chance to hear Dusty speak, part of your participation is allowing the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you today so you can minister to others. So I'd encourage you to have expectations today of what God's going to do in your life. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we declare today the victory in Jesus. And you know, God, it is an awesome victory. And God, as we start to understand the fullness of that victory, God, help us to be willing to submit ourselves to the victory. God, the victory is not for us to do whatever we want on our agenda. The victory is so you can do whatever you want for the kingdom of God and for your heavenly Father to be honored and glorified. And so, Lord, today we just join you in what you're doing. God, I'm praying that we can really open ourselves to you. God, help us to have expectations of what God's going to do today. Lord, we ask you to bless what your hand is on. God, forgive us of any sins in our lives today. God, may we come with a pureness before you. Lord, we ask you for your protection over us. God, we know the evil one, the flesh, the world is not happy about our gathering here. But God, we stand firm in our faith today that victory is ours through Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Take a moment and greet one another this morning.
At the end of the service today, you'll have the opportunity to pray. We always open the altar for prayer. You also have the opportunity to use one of these cards that's in your bulletin. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Put your prayer request on that card. Very, very important we treat this with much care, these prayer requests that come from you as we pray with you and gather on Monday mornings to pray over these things you've put on the cards. They're precious to us. Today we begin a new series of messages. John, if you'll go and get that up there. Biblical values that shape the future. When you're around somebody and you're getting to know them and you're getting to know their family, and someone were to ask you, yes, children, it's time to go. Brother Dusty forgot. Let my people go. Come on down. Feel like we're on The Price is Right. Man, I like that jacket. Do they, when you meet them, do they announce to you what their values are? They bring out a document and say, these are the values. Now, I know some of you dads, when your daughter has her first date, when the guy comes to pick her up, you go through the list of things, right? At that time. But most other times, you don't do anything like that. Because values just show, don't they? You find out from a person's life how they live their lives, how they act, how they treat others, the way they talk, the way life just spills out of them. You get an idea what their values are. Now today, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some, what I believe are some biblical values. Maybe you don't think of these as values, but I hope to convince you otherwise by the end of this series of messages. And the one today is simplicity. Now, we'll tell you a couple of stories. A certain southern town has a busy, busy highway. A great American corporation by the name of Walmart decides to build a store there. Now, some of the names in this story have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent. The store is built there. And like most Walmarts, everybody gravitates there. But there was one thing they hadn't planned on. All the traffic. And in fact, as soon as the Walmart opened, the traffic on that two-lane stretch of road became clogged, especially when people were trying to get home in the afternoon. In fact, it created a linear parking lot. Now, what would have been the simple thing to do? Well, put another little lane over there and just let people turn into Walmart. Would have been easy. And in fact, letters were written in the local paper that said, hey, this is all you need to do. And in fact, as the story goes, a contractor was hired by the state in which this Walmart had its business. And that contractor, that they went through many contracts, finally got one that could build the road. But in the meantime, people got tired of being in line, and they created their own road. Now, I'm not saying where this was, okay? I'm not saying where this happened. But people made their own road. In fact, it was a pretty good road, except when it was raining. And there were some deep holes there. But it wasn't long before they put up a barricade. The state put up a barricade there and said, no, you can't use that. This rocked on. Many letters to the editor in the local paper, and it went back, and it just kept getting more complicated and more complicated and more complicated. Finally, come to find out that one of the contractors who was supposed to do this job went bankrupt. And the job just sat. Traffic backed up more and more and more. And it got more and more complicated. Now I want to ask you, do things like that ever happen in your life? Where you started out with something very simple. All they needed to do was just it could have been done in a few days. Just put a little lane over there. Things ever get complicated like that in your life? How about relationships? How about family? How about work? Does it ever get complicated? When you want to just come in and say, let's just simplify everything. Did God ever do that? You remember when He did that? I believe they call it the flood. He simplified life immediately. Immediately. Now I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture today that is about simplicity. And it's about a guy who comes to Jesus with a very complicated life. Let me tell you a little bit about him before I read the story. He is very well educated. He is very intelligent. He's very well connected. In fact, he's connected politically. He's connected financially. In fact, if you were to meet this guy in his time, you would say, man, this guy is part of the in crowd. He must have a good life. But he comes to Jesus at nighttime, and he has a problem. Follow with me as we read from John 3. And after dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. Teacher, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you're born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. I want you to note, Jesus has just thrown out the first idea. It starts making Nicodemus think about how complicated his life is. He doesn't understand what Jesus says. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go climb into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now stop and I ask you, how is a person born of the Spirit? How can you describe it? How do you explain it? One day this man's life is headed this way, and the next day he's turned around, and he's going 180 in a different direction. How can you explain that? All the details. You can explain it scientifically. See, it is a mystery, a spiritual mystery. What do you mean, Nicodemus said. Jesus replied, you're a respected Jewish teacher, And yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, I'm telling you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe us. But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what's going on in heaven? For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness. Remember that story? What happened when he lifted up the snake on the pole? What happened? And the people looked on it. What happened? They were healed. That's why in the medical profession, they have that symbol today, that serpent on the pole. It's a symbol of healing. So I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole. And what happens when a person looks in faith and trust on the Son of God on the pole, on the cross? What happens to their lives? What happens to their soul? They are healed. They are healed of the only disease that can kill you forever. Sin. Because Jesus died on the cross for us. So that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. Now we're getting to the most quoted verse of Scripture in this whole Bible. All 66 books of this one Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His unique one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. There's the gospel in a nutshell. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it. Now, how many religious types do you know that seem to have God portrayed in their lives and to others like He's some God that gets His jollies out of condemning people? Is that the good news? No. Here John says it as he's quoting Jesus. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. That was His motivation. It came out of His love. His love for you and for me. There's no judgment awaiting those who trust Him. Isn't that good news? There's no judgment awaiting? That you're not going to be condemned? But those who do not trust in Him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. So it's not like they're going to die. You're already dead without Jesus. You're already separate. It's not like you're going to be separated in death after you die physically. You're already dead. You have physical life, but spiritually you're dead. That's why when a person comes to know Jesus, it is a resurrection. They come forth from the dead. That's why they can be walking this direction one day and turn around and they're walking in a brand new way. Does that make sense to you? Can you explain it? I can't. I just accept it by faith, just like the wind blowing. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it's going, but I'm going to put up a sail. Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear that their sins will be exposed and they'll be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see that they're doing what God wants. Three statements I want to make today. It is a simple gospel. What's the word gospel mean? Good news. It's simple good news. Here is Nicodemus with all of his religion, with all of his learning, all the things about his life that he brings to Jesus. He was so involved in the culture and everything that was going on there, and yet he comes to Jesus. Why does he come by night? Doesn't want to be found out. It's dangerous to hang out with this radical rabbi who some say claims to be the Son of God. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. Let me say to you as a footnote today, it's becoming more dangerous for us to be connected with this radical rabbi today, the Son of God. There are places in our world today where you lose your life for hanging out with the Son of God. Nicodemus comes tonight. All of the complexity of his life. And Jesus poses a simple analogy for him. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Born again. And do you see where Nicodemus immediately goes in the discussion? He goes to the physical, trying to ignore the spiritual dimension that is happening all around him. Does that sound familiar in our culture? Just dealing with the physical and ignoring the spiritual things that are going on. And in fact, we do so much in our culture to suppress that and to teach our children to suppress that. Isn't it interesting that little children many times are so much more spiritually attuned to things that are going on than we are? Because they've not fallen victim yet to the circumstances of pushing that down. And say, no, no, no. Denying that. Now, not all the spiritual forces that are going on are good forces, right? Because there's this battle going on. The struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a great spiritual battle. But we've read the end of the book. We know how it's coming out. We know that there is victory. And the very fact that we have victory in our lives shows us it's a down payment, if you will, on the victory that we know is going to happen overall. One day, as Dane said, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord of heaven and earth. He's Lord over all. It's a simple gospel. Simplicity is intrinsic to the gospel message. Anytime things start to get complicated, whose hand do you know has been on it? Man's hand. Because we can complicate things. We can cause a traffic jam for miles and miles and ignore the obvious thing. Second thing. What kind of church did Jesus found? A complicated church? A church of rules and regulations? A church that was legalistic? A church that was built on man and all of man's stuff? No, He founded a simple church. The simplicity. You know, well, let's talk about the word simple for just a moment. Many of us define simple as an item that describes ignorance. We equate simplicity with ignorance. But let me ask you for just a moment. If someone is a great teacher, what makes them a great teacher? Is it the fact that they can wow you with all the facts and figures and confuse you so that you come out of their teaching session and you're more confused than when you went in? Is he a great teacher? No, he might be a great intellect. He might be educated beyond his intelligence. He might be a lot of things. But he's not a great teacher. A great teacher does what? Brings something that is very complicated in man's view of things and brings it to a simplicity that can be understood. That is a great teacher. And that's the process. What did Jesus do? Here's the Son of God. Here's the one who was there. In the beginning was the Word. He was there when everything was spun into existence. The Creator of the world. And here he is in simplicity with this fellow Nicodemus, with patience. He's the founder of his church, his body on this earth. And it's a simple church. It's not complicated. It's being in relationship with him. Look at how he describes it. He describes us as his bride. That we're in relationship with him. And that we're living out that relationship. That's simplicity. Every day. And yet, what does man want to do with the church? And boy, I could give you some examples of how I've complicated church in the past. All the things that I have personally, I don't have to talk about somebody else. All I have to do is look in the mirror and look at my own past and see I've complicated that gift of God. See, the Son of God stepped down out of heaven to do something about the problem that we have. And that problem is sin. And he wants to be in relationship with us forever. He died on the cross. He arose on the third day. He ascended back to be with the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, who would baptize us, who would immerse us in himself, and we would have the power to go to the world and invite everyone else to be part of this family. There it is. That's not complicated, is it? It's very easy to understand. So in a church, does it fit in that or not? If it fits in that, then that's what we need to be doing. If it doesn't, chunk it. Third thing. Last thing. And it's a simple life. Now put this in, not for redundancy's sake. But for some of us, we want to divide, well, that's your church life. And this is your secular life over here. Hear me on this. God does not think in sacred and secular. Are you understanding me? Now, I just said something that ought to make some people mad. God doesn't think sacred and secular. He thinks life. It's one life. I'm to be the body of Christ here. But you know, I'm to be the body of Christ when I'm in that line of traffic that's being bottled up by Walmart. And I'm pointing, I don't know where that is. It sounds like I've had personal experience with this. Because who knows? Who knows? God may want to use you at Walmart. God might want you to share his gospel at Walmart. We're to be the body. It's a simple life. Life in Christ. Living every day according to his will and his purpose. Not complicating things. Not complicating things in our relationships. What if, just in your home, you and your spouse, you and your family, just quit all of the shenanigans about your relationship with one another, playing these games, this one-upmanship, and all the stuff that goes on in the name of relationship, and you just were honest with each other, and you spoke the truth in love? What if that began at your house? What if you just cleared the deck there, and you could finally just be honest with each other? There's some of us living in this room that have lived in homes, lived a life, and we're still thinking after being married 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, well, you know, I don't know if that person would really like me if they really knew me. How do I know that? Well, because I've counseled people for years about that, and I've lived it out myself, dancing around that. God wants us to live a simple life in relationship to Him, in relationship to other people. He's calling us to a value of simplicity. How complicated is your life? How complicated is money in your life? Does that complicate things? Does money complicate? You spend money over here, and then what does it do to the rest of your life? You know, if you're spending 20% more than you make, it can really complicate things, can it? Well, we make a decision over here, and we think everything else is going to fall in line. A job. Let me give you this illustration. Last one today. Someone agrees to take a job. It's a promotion. And right, you're supposed to take every promotion, right? Right? Why not? Because it might not be the will of God. It might not be the will of God. I have a friend several years ago. I begged him. I mean, I did everything. I did not get down on my knees in front of him. But eyeball to eyeball, I stood across a table and I begged him not to take this job that he was being offered on the other side of the country. I begged him. Because as I prayed for him, God would not give me peace about him taking this job. And I asked him about what his reasons for taking this job. Well, here were his reasons. He was tired of the job he was in, and he could make more money at the other job. Let me tell you the things that he didn't figure into that job. He didn't figure into that job the cost of living where he was going to go and live. He never thought about that. He didn't think about transplanting his family to another part of the country. He didn't think about all of the resources about his life and him taking that job. I don't know what the end of the story is going to be, but I know today's divorced. His family split up. And I don't know what job he's working today. How important was the job? It's a simple calling us today. Judgments that's coming on our country right now. We have arrogantly shaken our fist before heaven. And we have said, we can buy our way out of anything. How's that working out? How's that working out? A value that we must have in our lives is simplicity. Now, no one else can determine that for you. That's you and God. But I want to ask you, what simplicity is God calling you to today? I told you that was the last one. Let me tell you one more. When I was a young fella, I was in schools, in seminary, and we actually had a class on how to baptize people, believe it or not. Which ones you need to keep under longer. No. We actually had a class. And I'd always seen guys, when they baptize people, put their hand up in the air. And I never knew what it was for. So I didn't do it. Because I'm not going to do something that I don't understand what it means. Now hear me. How much of our relationship with Christ is just like that? Going through motions that we don't understand. Now, years later, I found out why people did that. Many of them did that when they were baptizing. Well, can you guess? As they had their hand on that baptismal candidate, their hand in the air, they were asking God to come in His power upon their lives. Simplicity. What's God saying to you? Has He spoken to you today? Let's bow our heads. We open the altar now. Ask our pastors and life group leaders if they would take their places around. These people are here to pray with you. You want somebody to pray with you? The altar's open. I know several of you have already said you want to come and be prayed for today. This is your time. This is your time. And during this time, if you want to bring your cards, or if you have an offering to bring, the baskets are here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died on the cross in our behalf and that You have given us new life. And I pray today we could live in the simplicity of that life and not complicate things with all of our junk. I'm asking You, Lord, to remove the junk from our lives, from our relationships, from our church, from our nation. Lord, that we could see the simplicity of a relationship with You. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank You. Altar's open.
soul will delight in the richest of faith. When you come to the waters, drink. Come to the waters, then drink. Come to the waters. In the richest affair, when you come to the waters and sanctuary.